This is episode 236 of Bleak and Review. Tonight's guest, Ethan Stanislawski. Plus, video game journalist Roy Bluff stops by. All of this and Jungle Juice only on Bleak and Review. Happy April Fool's Day. I'm pregnant. Yes, it's me, the least funny person you went to high school with on Facebook. How's it going? April Fool's Day was yesterday. Today is April 2nd on the day this comes out, so this joke isn't even worth it. I'm Kevin Anderson. This is the Bleak and Review podcast. Thank you for tuning in. Do you still have people popping up on your social media feeds like that? People from your past that like you haven't talked to in a very long time, but when you see glimpses into their lives, whether it's on Facebook or Instagram or whatever, you're like, wow, you are basic. I'm pregnant. Ha! April Fools. I can't have children. I'm broken. That would be funny. That would be a good April Fools tag to that classic bit. You go like, sorry, April Fools, everybody. My womb is dry. And that's just a, you know, classic piece of comedy, you know, infertility. And somebody, from my past recently add me on Facebook after like not having talked to them, not even like even beyond high school. I feel like maybe a little bit in high school, but like we weren't even close then. We just kind of knew each other. We were like 13, 14. They sent me a friend request because I commented on a mutual friend's thing. I'm like, what do you want to get out of this? Like, sure, I'll accept. I don't know. I mean, you haven't said anything crazy yet, so we'll see how you turned out. It is kind of weird, though. I'm not somebody who talks about high school a lot, but I do have some stories from then that are interesting. So occasionally I talk about high school, but I did think about this recently about like how people that I was like intimidated by in high school or was like, man, I wish I could, if only I could only be as cool as them. And they either go one, they go three. I think there's three main groups of people, three categories that I would ascribe to my graduating class of 2008. The first category is like, they're cool. They ended up fine. They're like into progressive politics and doing cool shit. Like there's a handful of people like that out there that I'm still friends with on social media. You know, we don't really talk, but I don't mind having them in my sphere. Then there's people who got like super adult, super fast, which is like cool. But I also don't envy that life. Like I see people who are like married with kids and they're 30 and like, that's not a big deal. Like I'm not saying you shouldn't be married and have kids at 30, but I just think of like how fast they did it. And like, sometimes they're married to other people from high school. And I guess, you know, I guess you can fall in love in high school and have that work out in your whole life. It just doesn't, I guess I'm just imprinting who I was in high school. It's like, oh, any choice I made back then, there's no way it would have carried even into my mid-20s. I was a psychopath. I was an idiot. But, you know, some people might have got their shit figured out before that. But I'm just like, oh, look at you with your real estate license and your husband and government or whatever. And that's fine. And then there's ones that really, really just kind of, let's just say life hasn't been kind to them, or at least my perception of life. And maybe this is a very elitist thing to say, but I don't know. It's just interesting when somebody that like either used to bully you or used to just be like, never give you the time of day, like not even like saying like, oh, girls didn't like me, just like people that didn't even consider you on their fucking level and like would never be like, I don't associate with that person. I'm part of the cool folks. I'm the cool boys. And then you see that they ain't doing shit. They're working at a Jiffy Lube or something. And they got like three kids and a divorce. And you're just like, ha ha, I knew it. I knew you sucked. And I knew that something would happen eventually to make you regret being rude to everybody in your life. I don't know what this intro is. Hi. This is what happens when you don't write your content and you just go off the top. Sometimes you talk about high school for 5 minutes. And listeners are like, Kevin seems to think about high school a lot. I wonder if he's doing okay. And I am. Thank you for asking and being concerned. I'm not vaccinated yet. That's unfortunate. A lot of people I know have gotten vaccinated, which is great. I'm happy that people are getting them. Doesn't seem to be any terrible ramifications so far from the Pfizer vaccine that people are getting here in LA and all over the country. You know, other than like the regular side effects of like my arm hurts, which, you know, that's going to happen. But nobody's like grown extra limbs or teeth in their ass or whatever. So that's good. I haven't gotten it yet because I'm like terrified of lying to the government. because I'm not eligible for the current phases. I'm not an emergency care worker. I'm not over 50. I'm not essential worker. All the categories that you can be. But then I talk to my friends who have gotten vaccinated who aren't in those categories as well. And I'm like, how'd you do it? And they go, oh, just lie. Tell them this. And they give you like the thing they did. But I'm still like, they're going to find out and they're going to get me. Also, I like don't go anywhere and shit anyway. So like, I'm not like itching for a vaccine. My mom's been vaccinated. Her boyfriend's been vaccinated. Like, so when I visit them later this month, like that'll be fine. But yeah, it feels like the only way to get the vaccine right now and what everybody seems to be doing that isn't in those categories is just lie to the government. And like, I'm totally into that in theory. Like, I'm not a huge fan of the government, as you may know if you've listened to the show before. But I also just, like, I just panic about that stuff. I get in my head that they're going to like know that I am specifically the one person who's lying and they're going to come fucking bash down my door and hit me with all the fucking... All the bad stuff. It's like, in a similar sense, I this week remembered a thing that I knew would catch up to me and I forgot about it anyway, which is that I postponed jury duty back in September of 2020 until the end of March 2021. And I knew I would forget about it. And I did. And I didn't get the email until way later. I got it the day I was supposed to get it. Like, hey, you're supposed to check in on the week of the 29th. And I was like, oh, sure, I could do that. But then it was like already the 31st and I was like, oh no, they're going to come get me. Like immediately went into panic mode. Like is there a warrant out for my arrest? I didn't do my civic duty. But also like the email was just like, check the online portal to see if you have to report. I can't postpone it again. I already tried. Trust me. But I do have that fear of like, I mean, people must miss these emails all the time. You know, you give the government your fucking burner email address, not the real one. You give them the one that has all the fucking spam shit that goes to it every day. So you have to sift through 500 emails to get to one thing that you're interested in. People must miss these jury duty appointments all the time. And they're not all being arrested. So, like, what am I worried about? But then again, you know, what am I worried about is the mentality of the complacent white man in America. Because it's not happening to you. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what this bit is. So I'm looking forward to the day that I may have to report to jury duty. Haven't had to do that since I was like 19 or 20 years old, about in 2009, 2010, something like that, which I did have to go sit in a courtroom and wait around all day to see if I was going to be made, like selected by the defense or the prosecution. And I quickly, I don't know if I've told this story in the podcast before, I probably have, but who could care? I knew I was going to try really hard to get myself thrown off the jury because it was, you know, I got a fucking party, dude. I don't want to waste my time, dude. I'm young. I'm 20. I got stuff to do. I have too many responsibilities. I'm 20. Like, fucking had no reason to not be there. But also, like, do you want a 20-year-old kid on your fucking jury? Some 20-year-old white kid who, like, just started experiencing life outside of his hometown and is, like, learning about the world. You're going to sit him down and be like, "This the fate of this person's hands is in your lap, sir." Guy who's clearly hungover and has a fucking Thrasher t-shirt on showing up like, "Oh, I don't think I should be on the jury because my girlfriend says juries cause autism and she's usually right about most stuff. She got tickets to see Franz Ferdinand and Death Cab for Cutie was opening for him. And I was like, I don't want to see Death Cab for Cutie. They're like weak." And she's like, "No, you probably like a few of their songs." And you know what? I did. And so like, she knows what she's talking about. I like that my roommate slammed his door right when I finished doing that terrible character. Cause it was almost like, whatever this is, I don't really know. I'm not here for it. And he's right. Shout out to Richard Park, everybody. So yeah, we'll see. Last time I did jury duty, I got myself dismissed by basically just listing crimes that had happened to me on like the questionnaire that they give you at the beginning. They were like, "Have you ever been a victim of a crime?" And I was like, I pulled out some real ones, you know, like me and my friends got jumped when I was a young lad, when I was like 15. And my car had been broken into before and things like that. So I just listed all these things, which like, yeah, these are factual things. They would never actually influence my decision in a case because like, I'm not like triggered by the fact that somebody took a fucking iPod adapter out of my car, my Nissan Sentra, my 94 Nissan Sentra, which if you're going to break into a car, why is it that one? That's ridiculous. But like I didn't want to do jury duty. So I was just like, yeah, I don't know if I can be impartial. I want to go home and smoke weed. And again, I mean, anyone who's trying to get themselves thrown off jury duty that hard probably shouldn't be on the jury. But then again, you think about who's not trying to get thrown off. I don't know. The people that actually get jury duty, you want to believe that it's the best of the cream of the crop, and it's like a really impartial, balanced jury to like actually uphold the justice system. But there's an old, I think it's Dave Barry, maybe? Jesus, this is a poll, but I think it was a quote of, you have the right to a trial and a jury of 12 of your peers who are too stupid to get out of jury duty. Like, I don't believe that necessarily, but I think there is some truth to that. And that's kind of scary. It's like, I think a lot of people actively avoid doing shit like I'm currently talking about doing. Like, I don't want to do it. It's going to fuck up my work week. It's going to fuck up my recording schedule. And it's like, these are things I care about. But then I'm like, oh, but what about this potentially wrongfully incriminated person who could go to jail for a long time? And you could be a part of that. You could help prevent that. You know, if you go to the mat for somebody after hearing the evidence and the testimonials and whatnot, you could actually make that change in somebody's life. But your own personal bullshit gets in the way and you're like, no, I don't even know that guy. And like, he's probably guilty. Like, start rationalizing it in your head or whatever. A lot of reasons to take jury duty, not a lot of reasons to abandon it in a real way, unless it actually like severely impacts your life financially. But then again, aren't they supposed to pay you for that if that's the case? See, I don't know these things, and I'm talking like I know stuff. Again, this is what happens when you don't write your intros and you just wing it, baby. But I think people should take jury duty. Take jury duty if you can. And if the trial seems stupid or like open and shut case or like something that's like not a real crime. Like if you get assigned to like a possession of drugs case or something, you should take jury duty for sure. Because fuck that. Anything drug related. If it's just drugs, it's not like this person had drugs and also killed somebody. If it's just like this guy had drugs and we want to hurt him for it. Fucking nah, just fucking say not guilty. That's a good way. That's a good way to upset the balance, I think. Or just avoid jury duty and you won't have to think about things like this. And you can go back to doing what I do, which is record podcasts, be white, and just let it all hang loose, baby. I don't know. I don't know if that's the exact headspace I want to leave this intro in, but we're about time. So we're going to do it. We're going to stop there and we're going to get into this episode, which is a fun one. Dear friend of the show, Ethan Stanislawski returns. We have a nice chat about balancing a comedy career with a holy shit, I need to pay rent career and many other things. Ethan's a good, Ethan. He's been on this show a bunch. He's been on the Unpops Network at large many times. He's even been on my friggin' Patreon show recently. Fun Hinged with me and Hollis Black. We did an episode on the film The Poughkeepsie Tapes with Ethan. So if you like him here, go listen to him there. And then a little later in the show, we've got a first-time guest on the show. A lot of first-timers lately. It's been fun. We've got Roy Bluff, who is a video game journalist. A video essayist, actually. A video essayist for video games. It's kind of a niche genre on the internet, but maybe some of you have heard of it. And if you haven't, you're going to learn a lot about it, sort of. With Roy Bluff. And with that being said, let's get into it. Episode 236 of Bleak in Review with Ethan Stanislawski and Roy Bluff. After this. And we're back here on Bleak in Review. I remain, of course, your intrepid host with the intrepid most, Kevin Anderson, joining me today on the podcast. Longtime friend of the show, certainly. Comedian in his own right. Host of the On Hiatus, You Don't Even Like... No, that's a different podcast. Your Team Sucks podcast. My team sucks. You know, let's take it again. Let's just take it all over again, but we're leaving this part in. Hi, I'm Kevin. I'm bad at podcasting. This is Bleak in Review, and joining me today is a dear friend of the show whose podcast I love and would never forget the name of. Of course, comedian, host of My Team Sucks, and all-around Jewish person, Ethan Stanislawski is here. Hello, Ethan.
You know what? I was hesitant to make this joke, But when you got all uppity about everything between your team sucks and my team sucks, I'm like, wow, on International Trans Visibility Day, you fucked up my podcast pronoun.
and that is the big message we want to get across in this episode, is that 2 days ago on the episode this comes out, it was International Trans Visibility Day, and white men still have it worse. Oh, goodness. Ethan, thank you so much for being here, of course. It's always good to see you, buddy. I know that your podcast is currently on hiatus, but does your team still suck?
I mean...
Who is your team?
I have many. Since I last recorded that podcast, which was at the end of last year, 2020, two of my teams have proven to suck very frustratingly. Two of them are doing all right, promising. One's at the equilibrium level suck, but there's hope. And then opening day of baseball season is tomorrow, so I don't know. Maybe they'll suck, maybe they won't. We'll find out.
There's a little bit of hope in the suck.
Yeah. That sounds... What is that? Okay, let's break that down.
Let's break it down. Let's break it down now, y'all.
Hope to the suck. Whose album is that?
Little Hope in the Suck. I feel like that's definitely a Marilyn Manson album.
Oh, problematic, but I'll accept.
Oh, right, right. He's awful now, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's always been awful.
Yeah.
But we found out recently, like, some more concrete evidence that he sucks, right?
Right. That's the thing, though. A lot of I always wonder with people when we find out they suck, like, because some people know ahead of time that they suck and some people don't know.
Right.
It's always like this weird thing. It was like, was I supposed to know that this person sucks, or was it like,
am I a bad person for not being aware that they sucked before the big news?
Right. Like, for instance, like, I've known that there's been a lot of problems with Joss Whedon for years, but the stuff that came out this year sort of pushed it over the edge into like, oh, this is unacceptable. But like Marilyn Manson, I was not aware of anything to note that like, he was a problematic person. I'm more aware of the work of Joss Whedon than Marilyn Manson.
Sure, honestly. Yeah.
But it's just like, oh, okay, I didn't know that, but now I know that. But it's sort of like, but people I know are like, we've known he sucked for years. Now it's just coming out. I'm like, well, I just didn't. And it's not because I was denying it. It's just,
right.
It just was like ignorant.
It's kind of like how a lot of comedy people in LA especially knew about like how shitty Louis C.K. was before the general public did. And it's like, and then you kind of start feeling like a cancel hipster where you're like, oh, you just found out that Louis jacked off in front of an intern? Like, I bet you just got into the Black Keys too. I don't know.
Yeah.
I couldn't think of a band.
That's a good band though, because they were a band that was around for a decade before they really hit mainstream. So that's a quality band. Modest Mouse would have been another one to use, but you know what I mean.
You probably just found out about Good News for People Who Love Bad News. I've been on that Bukowski, the track, not the author, for a while now. Also, I feel like...
But with awful people. But yeah.
Yes. I also feel like you're probably in the same camp as me on this, where Marilyn Manson was one of those ones where I also not super familiar with his work. I knew about a couple of his songs in the 90s or whatever, but I never gave a shit. But when it came out that like he had a fucked up relationship with what's her name from the movie poster behind me, Evan Rachel Wood, as soon as I heard that, I was just like, yeah, that makes sense. And I didn't really think anything of it. Like, sometimes you're like, whoa, I can't believe that the person that did all these things that I care about was bad. And then other times I'm like, 100%, that makes sense. And obviously, and yeah, let's move on to the next thing.
Well, there's sort of two ways. I don't know which is worse, but like, there's like either the way where like, oh, this person was work was so not that. And it feels like a betrayal that this person was an asshole because their work was like woke and woke and like progressive and things like that.
Right. Like
Louis.
There's
people like Louis or Joss Whedon is another one, or even Woody Allen. Like he did amazing female characters in his.
Yeah. Movie. He just, all of his 17-year-old female characters are really.
fair.
I know what you mean.
But it's also – but then there's people like Warren Ellis, the comic writer, or John Kay, who did Ren and Stimpy, who did weird, like, gross work. And then it's like, oh, that tracks. So it's – I don't know if that makes a difference. I don't think it does, because it's the action, not it's not related to the work.
Yeah.
But it is sort of just as a consumer of art, it is sort of like, which is more, I feel like I'm more upset when someone whose work is not that turns out to be that. But at the same time, it like, after you realize that, it doesn't really matter. But it is, it feels more frustrating in those cases.
It's weird, especially like, you can't really ever guess, like there's no way to get, like in some cases, like Marilyn Manson or like John Kay or whatever, their work is like, okay, this guy's kind of weird. Or like TJ Miller, like he's always been fucking crazy and stuff. And then you find out that he's sending bomb threats.
Yeah.
Well, Chris D'Elia basically outed himself in his act of, he pretty much told on himself.
Yeah, he's the most blatant, like, yeah, I am this. And then turns out I am this. It's just like, yeah, but...
Whereas like sometimes people who have some of the most like fucking wild ass, like offensive, edgy content, like for example, like director that we've talked about on my other podcast, Fun Hinge, Sion Sono, who made Suicide Club, and eventually we're going to watch the goddamn movie that's 4 hours long for the podcast. But like he makes these crazy movies with like a lot of weird stuff and a lot of like young girls in it and like it, all this stuff. But like, you never hear anything about that. You just be like, oh, that's somebody that knows how to be like an edgy artist without being a shitty person. you know what I mean?
I feel like the people I respect the most. Yeah. I feel like the people, I don't know if I respect them the most or it's just something maybe it's because I kind of have a sort of energy on stage that is not what I necessarily am off stage. Where I feel like, oh, if you are a lunatic on stage, but then like I can have a conversation with you off stage. That's kind of like, that's nice. I like that, where it's like you have that energy. I feel like Eric Andre is kind of that way, where it's just like, where it's just like on stage you are whatever the fuck you are, but then like in interviews you can be reasonable.
I've heard Eric Andre described as a chaos heart, and I think that's the best way to describe people like that.
I've never met Eric Andre, but I have a very fun Eric Andre story.
Let's get into it. This is, of course, and this is a segment we do every week on Bleak and Review, which is Celeb Goss with Ethan Sloss.
The end of the episode right there.
Yeah. Ethan Sloss.
So this story is about 10 years old, but back in the day, I was doing comedy in New York and also going on OKCupid.
The Big Apple.
Yes. Going on OKCupid dates that were mostly disappointing, but you know, that's OKCupid for you. I was going on this date with this girl. She was nice enough, you know, didn't work, it wasn't going to go places, but it was like very pleasant person. And then she's like, oh, yeah, you're a comedian. You know, I was Eric Andre's roommate for like 5 years. I'm like, well, that's interesting. What was he like? It's like, yeah, we got along all right. And I'm like, all right, that's 5 years. You say, yeah, we got along all right. That's the summary of it. I kind of wanted more dirt, but it was like, fine. Like I said, fine date, didn't go anywhere. Seemed like everything was pleasant.
Pretty good with the, despite the absence of a nut.
Yeah. Thank you, Kevin.
Yeah. No, I'm just trying to make sure this is a comedy podcast.
So, yeah. So,
you know, I jump in, I say my bullshit, I let you tell good stories. It's a great, right. It's great for me. It's great for everybody.
So anyway, back to my fucking story. So like I said, date didn't go anywhere, but it was fine. About a month later, one of my friend Ryan, who's like one of my best friends in the world, and we met in the New York comedy scene, texted me. He's like, yeah, I just went on this date with Eric Andre's former roommate. And I'm like, yeah, we just went on the date with a month apart with the same young lady.
She's telling everybody she used to live with
her. Right. And then about a month or two later, another friend of ours, we were hanging out. Hey, what's up? I forget who it was. It was like, hey, what's up? I just went on this date with Eric Andre's former roommate. So it was just like three people in the same circle went on one date with the same ex roommate of Eric Andre.
And none of them stuck. It sounds like.
Yeah. I don't know.
Do you think it's because she was so used to the energy of Eric Andre that anyone who failed to hit that level of insanity just didn't do it for her?
I don't know.
That's probably what it is. Let's move on.
It was just weird that like, I guess if you're not a comedian, you don't sort of know how small the community is, but it's just like, yeah, we're all like doing open mics at the same places. We all know each other and we're all like, you know.
We've all given Rick Shapiro a ride to the 101 Cafe in Hollywood at 11 p.m. because we thought that was a credit. We've all been there.
Sure. Okay. I have not, because I feel superior now. I don't give a shit.
No, but you are better. You are better. That's true. Assert dominance.
Yes, I will do that.
That's so what anyway, all of Eric Andre's former roommates like.
So anyway, I'm the host of Blake and Review now.
No, please. I'm so tired. Just do it. No, tell me more. Tell me more.
I mean, that's the end of the story. It was just...
So wait, you stopped my riff to go back into nothing?
Yeah.
But okay, so I guess what I was saying is just that Chaos Heart is what I would describe a performer like Eric Andre or like a Mikey McKernan, or that's a more local reference, but like people that are absolute nutcases like when they're doing their art, but they also have a good soul and they're not absolute nutcases off the stage. And like I feel like you got to watch out for the ones who aren't like that, the people that sometimes are too poised and confident and suave and stuff and like normal, like grounded, like okay, you're hiding something.
I feel like if you're talking to me just when we're hanging out, like you're giving an interview, that's like one of the biggest red flags for me. It's like I'm just trying to talk to you like a human being. I'm not trying to like interview you or like get you opportunity, but it's like, oh hi, how's it going, like that fake thing. Oof. If you are openly that, then I will have some problem. I also feel like maybe just because I've been doing comedy so long, I can maybe I've been wrong several times before, so I could be full of shit, but I have a sixth sense when someone is not fully a good person. They're like, oh, like this person seems a little off. I feel like I wasn't that in the beginning of comedy, and now I'm like, oh, this person's off. I'm going to keep my distance, and then that proves to be right more often than not.
You've literally just the last minute or two of you talking has just been a list of reasons I'm excited to not go back to hosting an open mic after the pandemic's over. Like, because I know exactly what you mean. Like that shit of like when you're the host and you have to deal with like 50 or so comics every Tuesday, like I was doing, and like you have to treat everyone with a sense of, you know, formality and kindness and stuff to keep the show moving. But you start clocking that shit of like, no, this is a person I actually like, and they seem like a genuine, even if they're like the worst comic in the world, like they go up and just eat shit for 5 minutes every time and they don't seem to be getting better. But I could still clock whether they're like a good person versus someone who might be killing, but also treats me like I'm not actually a person, but like goes through the motions of you know, surface value interactions of like, oh yeah, what's up, man? So like, I'm up in a couple. Cool. Yeah. What's up? This is a cool room you got, like blah, 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 blah. And then like, but then they just like disappear and you never really get a sense. And then you find out, oftentimes you find out that, I don't know, they were in somebody's DMs in a not cool way or whatever it is. You know? So yeah, that's just the list. That's the list I'm keeping of reasons to not go back to the open mic.
Yeah. I will say though, like I kind of feel like this because I have barely done any stand up in the pandemic. I've done a few Zoom shows, not done any outdoor shows. It was actually funny. I was taking a lengthy walk and a while back, and I was passing by a restaurant and I ran into one of the kind of comics we were talking about, who was just at this outdoor
name
restaurant.
Names.
Nah, it's not.
We'll save
it
for Patreon only. I'll cut this out in the regular feed, but we'll save it. No, we'll talk after.
But he was like, "Yeah, you should do this. I've been doing all these outdoor shows," and I'm like, "Yeah, I just don't feel safe doing them." It's like, "What? That's fucking bullshit. This whole thing is bullshit." And I'm like, "Bye." And it's like, normally I would be like, "All right, we've gotten along. I'll just be pleasant and walk away." I'm like, "Yeah, anyway, have a good day." I didn't go fuck you. I just went, yeah, just bye. And I clearly indicated whether or not he recognized it that I'm not interested in continuing this conversation. But yeah,
that's another skill that I've definitely developed. And it's a lot easier to use when you are hosting a mic, because you got to be, whenever somebody hits you with that shit where you just want to detach, you just go, oh, I got to go back in and check on the room. And so you could just walk away from any conversation. It's amazing. Yeah. It's harder to get into that outside of that. So I will miss that. But I'm curious if you feel the same way, because I feel like Zoom shows are fine, whatever. I've done a couple as well. They've been fun. But I've noticed a thing of like anyone I've seen really, really pushing like the return to comedy, especially in LA where we do not have shit under control. If you're in a different city where it's more under control, I don't care as much.
I feel like anywhere I mean, I don't know. I'm also.
It's strange to me that they're such a force. They're forcing it to happen so much. Where it's like, what is anybody really getting out of an outdoor show? I'm sure there's good ones, but like everything that I hear about them is that they're not really much.
Yeah, to be fair, though, we're not making our living off of stand-up comedy. If your livelihood is stand-up comedy, then any means you can get to. So that's sort of where I'm like, all right, I'll allow this. And I do – the thing that the pandemic has done, because I wasn't doing as much stand-up before the pandemic, it's made me miss stand-up. It's made me miss, like, the process of it. And I'm like, you know, I've been doing it for a decade. I remember I'm 34 now. It's 2021. I started doing stand-up when I was 23.
Weird flex, but okay.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, I am an age and this is a year. Very good. But I started doing stand-up when I was 23 in 2010. And I sort of actually coming up on my 11th anniversary doing stand-up. But it was the kind of thing where I remember when I started, I was like, you know, I'm going to give myself 10 years. And I'll I got to give it a good amount of time. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to fucking go for it. And if after 10 years it's not going the way I want, then I may sort of pivot and see what the next stage of my life was. But I said that when I was 23.
And then your 10 years happened in the worst year for stand-up in general.
Yeah. So I made it to the end of comedy was my tweet at the time. I have completed comedy. But it's not something that's easy to quit. I have other things I'm working on. I've been writing. I have like some work stuff, some business stuff I'm pursuing. But I'm still like writing. Did a pilot read of a script I wrote. That was very fun.
That was very fun. And thank you for having me, by the way.
Of course.
This is actually something I wanted to ask you specifically about. And I like that 20 minutes in almost, we're getting to my pre-planned interview question for you, but you kind of touched on it. So it's natural, especially with me saying that it's natural, but, you're kind of like me in the sense that, we both, as long as I've known you at least, which has been 7 years now, as long as I've known you, you've always been a dude that's like working on your art stuff, your stand-up, your writing, sketch stuff, whatever it is, but also grinding out a full-time like job and like doing it well, like a job that like a salary job. Like you've been able to balance those things. And that's like kind of how I've lived in LA the whole time I've been here for the last 8 years. And I find that, I guess I'm asking this because I feel burnt out lately. I've been feeling really burnt out on trying to do everything I want to do all the time. What is I'm trying to phrase this right. I know this is my pre-planned question and I can't phrase it right. That's good, right? How do you manage to both excel at to the point where you're not getting fired? You know what I mean? Like when I say excel, I mean you are staying afloat at your corporate job in the shaky corporate landscape that is LA fucking office work, which is what we do essentially, or tech work.
Yeah.
And how do you manage to stay afloat while having the energy to be creative?
Well, I will say this. You're very flattering there, but it is the kind of thing where there have been stretches, like months long stretches in those 7 years I've known you where I've not been working, where I've like two times in LA, three times, I have quit decent to well-paying job for a comedy project that sort of didn't go the way I wanted it to.
Right.
One time I got a job right after that right away, but the two stretches where I was out of work for an extended period of time, I wanted to die. Like it was the kind of thing where, it was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm out of money. I'm losing my mind. I'm never going to get work again. What the fuck's going on? Yeah. And my stable stretches, even though, you know, there's been ups and downs, some jobs have sucked more than others, but my stretches of stability have been when I'm working at a job. So, you know, say what you will, dude's got to fucking eat. Like, you know, you've got to pay rent. So it's like, if I'm not, I feel like I'm in a better place because I'm not freaking out about that shit when I am working. So,
right.
Yeah.
You were raised probably like I was with the vaguely, I don't want to say conservative value, but like it's definitely a bootstrappy mentality of like the one thing that was mostly imparted on me from my father, God rest his soul. And I believe in God now, it's my new canon. but the thing was like always have a backup source of income at all times. Like do the things you want to do, but never like take that leap of faith and go for it, especially in LA because like you don't know what's going to happen. And so I always have that kind of fear in my head of like, if I were to quit my current job and try to make a living doing comedy, I mean, right now it's crazy because there's not even stand up and stuff. And I have limited Patreon income that could help me out in the stretches. So it'd be like, it's not sustainable, but it's a thing of like, I've always had a safety net. I've been pretty much consistently employed since 2013. And when I was younger, as a strapping 23-year-old, I could manage it a lot worse or a lot better because I was just, you know, going crazy and like staying out till like 4 a.m. and then not getting sleep and then working at 6 and then it's like being drunk at work and nobody cared. But like now that I'm like an adult, quote unquote, I find it harder and harder to justify that kind of behavior. And I'm like, that's just how it goes. It's if you're trying to do it in this city with this exorbitant rent and shit, you have to do both.
I mean, you know, whether or not we're at the level of success we want to be, I want to be more successful. I'm pretty sure, you know, I don't mean to speak for you, but like
I don't want to be more successful.
Okay. But like wherever we're at, like we're still doing shit.
Right.
And how many people from when we met 7 to 8 years ago are still doing shit? How are we able to do this shit? Because we are able to live and do this shit.
There's something to be said for that ability to at least withstand the storm. Like maybe not have the dramatic highs and lows as some people get where like they're on top and then they fucking crash and burn. But like, I think if you're playing the long game, it is the way to go just because like, I don't know, I've been able to survive during the pandemic without like any dramatic financial insecurity and stuff like that. And I've been able to be creative during all of it. So I guess there is something to it.
Yeah. I'll say this in terms of like how I was raised. The two things that made me think of is, I was raised in like a pretty well off environment and that's just what it was. And
that's how it is.
I'd like to think I honor the values of like not taking that for granted and using what I was given to help the world as much as I can. I was raised around a lot of shitty private school kids.
Yeah.
And my dad, at one point, he said it multiple times, but he said it to me once. He's like, there's a difference between being privileged and being entitled.
Yes.
And that was a huge thing. That was a huge thing for me as a child. That
actually makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Because, again, I was upper middle class, if that was a thing when I was born. So I guess like middle class was a thing when I was born. It's dead now, obviously. Everyone's renting forever.
Hey, remember that?
Yeah, remember the – hey, that's what they should do on the I remember the aughts or I love the 90s or I love the aughts, like those fucking shitty VH1 shows. It's like Weird Al in front of a green screen going, remember the middle class? that could be fun. That could be real fun. But yeah, so like I definitely came up with like a certain amount of privilege in the sense of like I was never hungry and like I was able to like get a car when I was 16 and things like that and things that I know that other people haven't been afforded in their lives. And like I was able to go to college and stuff, state school, but whatever. But like you see people that are come from that same background, but they have a different worldview. Not even like they have a different, like they see things completely differently. And I think it's probably because they were raised to be entitled rather than privileged.
Yeah.
Is maybe what you're saying.
Yeah. And the other thing that's definitely fair. And there's people like, I'm like, you were an idiot and you were coasting by and then you got into an Ivy League school. So go fuck yourself.
Right.
There's people like that I was raised with. The other thing, like when you're talking about parents and how we were raised, the thing that made me think of is when I started doing comedy, because I was in grad school at the time and I left grad school to do comedy, actually a better financial decision, which sounds crazy, but grad school is a fucking joke.
Right.
But I remember I was home from break from grad school and I was just in like the living room with my mom and I was like, you know, I know I've been doing grad school, but now that I found comedy, I think I was sort of opening my heart to my mom that this is what I want to do. And the first thing she said was, well, you need a plan B.
Yes.
And it was the kind of thing where she was right and she meant it from a very well-meaning place. But like, I've just opened my heart about what I want to do with the rest of my adult life. And you're like, well, maybe it won't work out. And I was
all your dreams could be bullshit, Ethan. So you should probably get like a resume also.
Right. So I resented her for that for years, like at least like. Until like I moved to LA, which was 3 years after I said that,
right.
I was pissed at my mom for that. But it drove me a little. Like it made me like it was a little bit of like screw you, mom. I'm going to do this kind of thing. But it's like you know I got older, chilled the fuck out. But I appreciate the drive, and I appreciate like the intention by it. But it was still like you know it was something that motivated me. But she's accepted. Like it's the kind of thing where it's not like my parents are like you shouldn't be doing comedy. You should be adaptive. It's not like that.
Yeah, they didn't do the typical stereotypical Jewish thing.
Yeah, they're like we just want you to be happy and safe and secure. And if you can do comedy and also be happy and safe and secure, that's all that matters to us.
Yeah, I think my dad didn't emotionally sign off on the idea of me pursuing the arts until I got my first consistent job in LA. Like, I had moved down here, you know, with my savings and you know, burned through that shit. And I always had this thing in my early 20s and stuff. Like, if I ever had to borrow money from my parents, I never got to get that money. Like, it could have been a life or death situation. I would sometimes get it, but when I got it, I never got it without a deep shaming of me not having my own money to pay for that thing in that moment, whether it was like a month's rent or whatever it was, like when I was like 22 or 23 or whatever. And so I think like just the inclination for me to avoid a shaming helped a lot in that regard. So like, I guess you can emotionally abuse your kids into being successful, but it's also a thing that you need to learn.
For me, it was self-shame. I think that I took that, privilege, not entitled thing so literally, that like so deep to heart, that anytime it didn't, I wasn't able to do that. Even though my parents were like, we just will help, we want everything. I'm like, no, fuck you, I'm a failure. I'm a spoiled failure. That kind of thing.
No, yeah. So that
I did that to myself a lot, but yeah.
That, you know what, Ethan? That sounds exactly like you.
Yeah.
to be your own worst critic in all aspects of life. Yeah, sounds about
right. Yes. That's about right. Yeah.
I would say in closing on this topic, I had a thing earlier and then I forgot it. No, I got it. I'm sure I got it. But the thing of like being pushed to do that and not really feeling supported until, I think it's for me, at least with my dad, you know, God rest his soul, into God, remember that. the thing with him was like, as soon as he was able to like relax and stop worrying about me, because he went through so much shit with my brother being into drugs and going to like rehab in Mexico and all this stuff. Like, as soon as he's like, okay, Kevin's working in an office, that's a thing. He wears a collared shirt. He's going to be fine. Do whatever you want. I don't care. And like, that's when he was like, I want to come see your shows and like shit like that. Like, I want to come out and support your comedy thing, because I know you're not going to fucking die doing this now. And I think that's how it came out eventually.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
And speaking of not dying, doing
I don't have
things,
anything more.
That's okay, because I'm about to transition into break. It's perfect.
Well, great then.
Well, great. Well, Ethan, you can stick around, right?
Yeah, I'll stick around, of course.
Because we got another guest coming up here on Bleak Interview here in just a second. I'm very excited to get to know them. They're a first timer on the show. Don't know a whole lot about them other than they have very good taste. And their name is Roy Bluffs. Have you heard of this Roy Bluffs before?
Sounds classy. Sounds like a classy person. So,
a two syllable first and like a two syllables total and a name like Roy Bluffs.
Yeah, Bluffs. That's like a name of a fancy geographic location is a Bluffs. Whenever
I don't know
Bluffs,
how
like,
fancy Bluffs
takes a lot of money
first
there.
Of first of all, Ethan, I grew up next to some Bluffs, and the amount of fucking Zima bottles and goddamn Natty Light cases
we have different Bluffs experiences. Our Bluffs are very different.
I'm talking Sacramento Bluffs. You're talking like Niagara Falls or some shit.
Something, whatever. Point is, it's a name of a location. If your name is a location, is a geographic location, that indicates a certain level of humanity.
I do agree with you on that, and that's why I'm very excited. Our upcoming guest, Roy Bluffs, really enjoyed that. and only Patreon subscribers will get to see that. But, so patreon.com/Bleak Interview. Pay me money. Look at my face. So we're going to go to a quick break here. We will be back with more Bleak Interview with more Ethan Stanislawski and the enigmatic Roy Bluffs after this. I stabbed a man in Reno with my friend Janet Reno's corpse. This is not alliteration. This isn't a vocal warm-up. This is bad. This is bad here on Bleak and Review. Of course, we left all of that in because I am transparent with how bad I am at talking. I remain Kevin Anderson. Of course, joining me here in the co-pilot position is Ethan Stanislawski.
Thank you.
That's
Roger
what he
that.
Sounds like. And And I'm very excited for our next guest here. I got to admit, I fucked up a lot of stuff about their intro in the last segment, but I know everything now, and it's fine. Turns out they are a video game aficionado, and the name, of course, of this said aficionado is Roy Bluff, not Bluff Explorer.
Yeah, singular. This is Roy Bluff.
Roy Bluff.
I got to say, Mr. Ethan Kaminsky, I was listening to you earlier, and you said there was something very human about having a last name that's a landmark. I gotta thank you for that. I like to think that I'm one of the more human people to interact with non-human beings. The non-human beings, of course, being the NPCs of the RPGs that I play.
You got the NPCs, you got the RPGs, you got the side scrollers, you got the top downs, you got all the games that remind you. I don't know what I'm doing. Hi, I feel so embarrassed, Roy Bluff. Bluff.
I know you're playing video games, but your voice indicates a man with a person with a story.
I mean, it's probably just because of the drinking and the smoking. So every night, what I do is, obviously, first I have a cigar. You light the cigar, wooden matches, gotta taste it correctly, and then you put the lid end into your mouth, because that's where you get the most flavor. That's how I always smoke my cigars.
You light a cigar up, and then you hunker down on the burning side?
It's gotta burn. I smoke it for the burn.
So you're like one of those cool people in college who puts the joint in their mouth backwards and then blows smoke into your face or whatever? It's a really specific genre that maybe isn't.
Yeah, I'm like, I did not. That sounds like some Sacramento.
Well, I went to school in San Jose.
I know what you're referring to. It's called shotgunning. Yeah. But also, may I just say, how dare you?
Roy, I'm so sorry. I've already not cast the proper deference to your status so much in this episode. I feel very bad. First of all, I want to just say, canonically, you're a man?
Yes.
Okay. That's going to be so much easier for me. All right.
Wow.
No, Kevin, just because I host a certain podcast with somebody who doesn't identify with he, him pronouns, and I just wanted to make sure that canonically I'm using the right pronouns.
Can you say that? Can you use that to be a little more condescending in your tone there? Just a little bit?
Yeah, I guess I could, Ethan. I guess I could. My whole thing was that I was going to make sure that I was doing the right thing, unlike all these other white men who don't give a frig about who they frig. So yeah, Roy, I guess you're a him.
Anyway, Roy.
So yes, Roy, it's really nice.
Point is, Roy.
Roy Bluff, it's so great to have you here.
So anyway, I go into my kitchen. I got my cigar.
You got a kitchen, nice.
And then I got to sit down, you know. Play my games, but you gotta get a drink first. So I just make myself a jungle juice. I get a jungle juice. I put it together in a bowl.
Cigars. Okay.
So first I pour in a full bottle of Four Roses bourbon. Then I pour in a full bottle of Maker's Mark bourbon, and then a full bottle of Bullet bourbon. Then I pour in a bottle of Eagle Rare bourbon.
Anything else? And then just four bourbons.
Stir it together, and then I ladle it into a can of Monster Gamer Fuel.
Oh, hell
which
yeah.
I've cut the top off of to now act as my jungle juice.
I was wondering at what point does the jungle juice enter, and how's it just not like a Kentucky juice, which is just all the bourbons?
Kentucky's got jungles.
Yeah, sure. They've got swamps.
I hadn't even thought of it that way. I've never been to Kentucky. I'm not a Kentuckian myself. I rarely leave my room.
Roy, it sounds like based on what you described, you said you cut the top off of your gamer fuel, right?
Yes.
Let me guess, is that a jagged cut? It's not a clean cut from like a can opener, right? It's got like, there's like, you do like a knife, just like a manual knife cut. So there's a lot of pokies in it, right?
Well, no, I don't want to get the tetanus.
Oh, okay. You're all about Tetris, not tetanus.
I haven't heard of that game.
Wait, hold on. That's like Tetris? One of the first games there is. What?
That's like, you got a Game Boy.
I'm not much for mainstream gaming.
Tetris is so mainstream. Well, I'm curious because I just want to back up for a second because I'm a bit of a gamer myself. And Ethan, would you describe yourself as a bit of a gamer?
I'm podcasting with two fellow gamer girls.
I've got a new, you might love this, Roy. I got a big old PC set up now. I got a desktop rig going on. I am officially a gamer girl TM.
Oh, okay.
You just gotta dye your hair blue.
I'm gonna dye my hair blue and I'm gonna stream me being really bad at Apex Legends, which I just started trying to play today and I'm having a hard time with.
What's that one?
That's a little too mainstream for you, I guess.
I guess it's a game you certainly can't play after
a four bourbon blend, certainly. There's too much stuff going on. So you make yourself, hold on. I also want to talk about this jungle juice. Jungle juice typically is made in a big cooler for children, but you just pour a bunch of bourbons into a punch bowl, swirl it around, and then pour it into a jagged can.
With a label. It's not a jagged can.
Right, I'll have you know. Right. I forgot that part.
The label makes a difference. Because I'm a gaming journalist.
Oh, and again,
I face this disrespect. Yes.
I do love that we invited you on here for that reason, and I could barely remember that's what you do.
yeah, it was a little hurtful, Kev.
Hey, I'll have you know. Thanks. I mean, we are very familiar already. I like it. But Roy, I will say that...
Yeah, you're already going Kev.
Ethan doesn't even call me that, and we've known each other for 8 years.
Well, it only seemed right. I mean, I don't know. I thought maybe you were being chummy, calling me Roy Bluffs with an S.
Yeah, I was getting a little colloquial with it. I was getting a little folksy.
No, that's just ignorance to your name.
He just didn't know you. I'll also have you know, Roy, that I'm in deference to your status. I've gotten a little drunk on my own jungle juice over here. So, you know, we're having a good time. But so I'm curious. You don't know about Apex Legends. You don't know about Tetris. And as far as I'm concerned, they're the two most popular current games out there. So like, when you sit down with your lit cigar in your mouth and your a can of gamer fuel with your bourbon blend in it, what are you playing?
Well, a lot of the times I'll sit down, I'll kick back with my cigar, I'll poke the one toe out of the hole in my boot, and I'll play a round of Yume Nikki, the Japanese RPG made in RPG Maker from year 2006. Or I'll play, sometimes when I'm feeling competitive, I'll play the only fighting game I'm aware of.
Oh no.
I'll play a game of...
No, feel free to check your notes.
Listen, I'm starting to question. No, honestly, I think you may have just Wikipedia'd a couple of
Ethan. We cannot invalidate the artistic process of what Roy is bringing to the table here. Roy is on his own wavelength.
Wait, way to use the wrong pronouns with the
I mean,
he.
I've yet to meet a person.
This is a weird new, like, weird new world we're living in.
Anyway, yeah, sometimes if I
the only fighting, over, yeah, the only fighting game you're aware of course.
Yeah, Ultra Fight Da Kayanta 2.
I hate you. Okay, no, okay.
It's a fighting game in which you kill your opponent by making one attack.
Just to confirm, this is the only game you know of, and it's 2. So this is the fact that there's a game called 2 not imply the existence of a 1.
But there is
so
no 1.
So at least you should be aware that the 1 game exists.
There isn't the first. They started with the second.
Whoa, okay.
No, I don't believe this. I do.
I will accept it because
this is... Well, look it up, Mr. Evan Kaminsky.
Yeah, Evan Kaminsky. Not to be confused with Evan Kessler.
Wow, just... Yeah,
other friend of the show who's also Jewish.
Other Jew-froed.
Well, here's the thing. Ethan, I am inclined to believe this because that sounds like the most pretentious shit I've ever heard, starting with a sequel. So, like, that sounds like something that I would believe Roy Bluff would be into. Is like a game that's like, fuck you, we're starting with 2. You have to figure out why. We don't care.
What I'm trying to figure out about Roy is he seems like a world-weary person.
Emphasis on the weary.
Sounds like a hipster.
Emphasis
douche.
On weary. Very tired.
But he
looking.
Also sounds like a hipster right. douche. So I'm like, I've never heard a hipster douche of anything sound like an old man at a bar who has a grizzled barfly
who's got their basically a fixture at their regular seat at the bar. I know what you mean.
Right. It's like the people who hipsters worship, but you know, like an ironic, like detached way. But you are that, but also the hipster. So you're like throwing the shittiness back on the.
He's the bridge between both worlds, kind of like Aquaman.
Yeah, sure.
So Roy, this I mean, you have very eclectic taste. When did you start getting into gaming?
Well, I'd say it all started about 4 years ago, Kev.
Four?
Jesus.
You see, I started watching video game essays on the YouTube. And then I thought, well, I could
do that.
And so that's mostly how I make my bread, is I make video essays about video gaming essays, which I put out on Daily Motion every week.
Daily Motion? Isn't that the one with all the beheading videos?
Is it? Oh, I did not know that was a thing.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes they sponsor my videos.
Not Daily Motion, ISIS, right?
Yeah.
ISIS sponsors your videos.
Look, say what you will about them.
Right.
They've seen the end of life.
This is taking a turn.
They've seen life wriggling, struggling for freedom, and that is truth. That is art.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that.
Yeah, they're the only people in real life that's violent with video games. Sponsored by ISIS.
Yeah, you've seen my ads.
So I feel like in the press materials you sent over to the Bleak and Review Studios before this, I do remember clicking on a link, and at the beginning, because it was about a 45-minute video essay on, I believe it was Dark Souls or something of the long – it was a Souls-like. I don't remember exactly which one it was. It doesn't matter. We don't have to get into the specifics because I have a joke. I just remember at the beginning of this video that your two main sponsors were Squarespace and ISIS. Is that right? You were like, by the way, this video is brought to you by Squarespace. If you want to build a website to showcase your beheading videos, do it on Squarespace.
Yeah, that was a mistake. I shouldn't have done that.
The Squarespace thing. The Squarespace part, right?
Yeah, I didn't realize. The following that came with Squarespace, and I regret taking that sponsorship in hindsight.
So wait, your problem with Squarespace is that there's too many people who use Squarespace, and it's like mainstream.
Well, I wouldn't put it in those terms.
And not a lot of people using ISIS.
Not many these days.
No, the ISIS wave has come and gone for sure. They are not getting the numbers they once were getting.
The Middle East is totally peaceful now. There's no problem.
It's like Gangnam Style. It was like that for a minute. But okay, so you do these, you do video essays on games that you pick the games. It all comes from the mind of Roy Bluff. You're not
user requests. I do video essays about video essays.
That's what I meant. Oh.
Like, I do video essays about video essays on Daily Motion. So
yikes.
I'll be like watching like a Joseph Anderson or an H. Bomber guy.
Oh, sure.
And then I'll be like, ah, yes. That editing was a little too clean. Notice that color grading on H. Bomber guy as he talks about Bloodborne, whatever that is.
Wait, okay. Bloodborne is not a mainstream game. Like, only people...
So, let me get this straight. You watch video essays...
Kev, I gotta argue with you on that one. They call the genre...
Born-like?
Soulsborns. They call them Soulsborne, so Bloodborne is literally in the name of the genre.
But like,
you're going to act like it's not a well-known game. Okay, Kev. Anyway, that's my rage about that thing I've never heard about. Shut up. Don't question the logic here.
No, I'm going to question so much of that logic, because you are watching video essays on popular games, but you are still not aware of popular games. Don't in the video essays they explain what the popular games are?
Yes, Ethan, yes. But there are two problems with what you've...
Thank you for getting my name. But
yeah,
right,
anytime,
by
Algebra. So...
Algebra!
Yeah, Algebra, go ahead. CMIL or whatever. Anyway.
go ahead, Roy. Tell us more. Explain the logic and the breaks therein.
Well, see, the thing is you start this video, and one, you forget that I'm... very whimsical and hard to track, much like, I don't know, a folk singer who sings about weird hotels and prostitutes named after donuts or something, whatever that would look like.
Or a member of ISIS. Hard to track.
But also, you're forgetting that I watch these essays. That might have been what I was alluding to. Who could say? And
Tom Waits is too mainstream for you?
I didn't say I hadn't heard of it. I just said I could have been alluding to it. Who could say? Let's skim past it. This facade may or may not be based on it. Let's move forward.
And also,
the thing that you have to remember is that, number one, I'm very whimsical and hard to pin down. And two, I start these video essays. I start watching them. But then I have my jungle juice.
Yes. Oh. Your four bourbons in a broken can.
So by the time you get to what the essay is about, you're too drunk. And then you don't really remember. But you still review them. That seems
I review the essay.
Yeah, but you're drunk, so you don't remember the essay.
Well, that seems like a lack of ethics in the video games, essay journal. Remember the way he was about, like, whether H. Bomber Guy had too many jokes, or if, like, Joseph Anderson got a little snarky, or if Manly Badass Hero got maybe a bit too esoteric while talking about these RPG Maker games.
Or, like, Philosophy Tube talked about philosophy too much.
See, I'm not aware of that guy, but probably.
I think he talks about games sometimes. I don't know. I had a person staying on my couch that got me into that at some point, and I just wanted to contribute.
All right. Well, Roy, I got to ask you, do you have a Twitch stream? Because you seem like a man with a story and
a man.
Twitch stream.
Establish the canon.
See, I tried. But it seems that no place on my computer can I find an RBG hookup. To hook into...
A Ruth Bader Ginsburg hookup?
Wow, I think somewhere a B and a P have gotten confused. And that small difference means...
Hey, a B and a P definitely got confused in the Gulf of Mexico. Remember the oil spill? I don't think I even got the location right.
All right, Roy, I'm on your... Roy, you're the person I hate the least now.
That's all I'm trying to do. I'm trying to reestablish the natural order of this podcast, where I am the one that everyone casts aspersions at. I want you two to get along. So let's talk about some of these. What would you say is your crowning achievement in video game essays that you've put out there? What was the most clicks, the most sponsorship money, or thing you're just most proud of so far in your storied history?
I would say it was one where I actually went off the books, broke my normal format, and just did my own observations on gaming as opposed to reviewing video essays and doing video essays about the video essays.
Sure.
It was a video essay I did called Ludonarrative, Video Games Aren't Supposed to Be Fun.
Sounds even more familiar to me than...
It was an essay in which I dropped the word ludonarrative a few times so that you knew that I knew...
What that word was?
Yes.
Alright, I'm back to hitting Roy more.
If a game is fun, that means that you failed as an artist.
Right.
See, games are supposed to be like Pathologic and Yume Nikki, where like you just look around at stuff and feel stressed out, and then you kill yourself.
So are you, I would imagine that you're definitely a fan of like, I don't know, maybe this is a little too mainstream for you, but like Hideo Kojima games?
I'm a fan of the man. I can't say I'm familiar with his work.
I remember there was a time.
I was very into Metal Gear Solid. I loved it.
Wait, what?
A year passed, and now I've never heard of it.
You're the most...
No, he's never heard of it anymore. He's never heard of it anymore. It's okay.
I hate everything you are. I've never hated someone I've been on a podcast with more. I've probably been on a podcast with some monsters of human beings, but I hate you more. So,
here's the thing.
You know what Metal Gear is. You know, Roy, you fucking know what Metal Gear is.
He used to know what Metal Gear was, but now he's just a fan of Hideo Kojima's character names. That's it, right? It's not the games anymore. It's just the bad names.
Very much so. In the same way that I used to love Undertale, and now I haven't heard of it.
And then, now Undertale got too cool, and now you've never even fucking heard of it, and you're like, what are you talking about?
Man, I wish you were in proximity to me so I could hurt you.
Yeah, if only it was
if only that
if only was around the fucking corner, right?
But you love some kind of weird inside joke. I don't care for it.
But you love Hideo Kojima character names, despite the fact that you've never heard of any of the games that they're from. But like,
yeah, like, I love a good laughing octopus or confused hippopotamus.
I watched my neighbor.
If you are subscribing to the Patreon now. You're just seeing me throw my arms.
This is worth the money, folks. But like, I just watched my neighbor beat Metal Gear Solid 4, a game you've never heard of, certainly, four times over now. You've never heard of it four times. But I was really enjoying it.
Likewise, I don't have opinions about how in certain boss fights, if you do the right thing, you get them into photo mode, and then the boss just like poses at you all sexy, and you take pictures of them.
Yeah, what is that even about?
I don't know about.
Yeah, I don't know about that certainly either.
Yeah, it's like, is that like a Pokemon Snap? But
I do
boss
like
situation.
It's like Pokemon Snack, but deeply
Pokemon,
sexist.
Wait, Pokemon Snack?
Pokemon Snack?
I've had too much of my jungle juice.
Patreon listeners can confirm that that is true. But also, Pokemon Snack sounds fucking nasty. Like, ooh, look at this thick Mewtwo.
That sounds like a promotion. That sounds like a promotional thing that they have it like Squirtle flavored. What's the popper?
Poppers. The Squirtle doing poppers, so he can have gay anal sex. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Oh, you're talking about like you're.
I don't know.
You're talking about like rap snacks.
The point is, listen, Kevin. The point is, fuck Roy.
I'm gonna have to mediate here a little bit, and I'm gonna mediate here a little bit in saying that I understand where Roy's coming from because I watched my neighbor beat Metal Gear Solid 4 last night, and I just love that there was another nasty character name in there, Big Boss, which sounds like a dom. I love that. I love that name. Are you a fan of that one, Big Boss?
Well, listen,
was it Chunky Boss? I can't remember.
As someone who doesn't know the series. But also knows it very intimately from past days. Look, you have to understand that when you contextualize it, Big Boss was an important character because it represented an ascendance in the story.
You know this game! You know this game! You are aware of this game and everything that this game is
about.
I'm
gonna subscribe to the past lives theory here, where like, I think... No, I know you do. I know you reject any kind of Eastern philosophy, you prick. But,
Which reminds me of another game that I wanted to tell you about. Eastern Mind. Oh, the Lost Souls of Tong Nao. From the creators who would go on to create LSD Dream Emulator.
Boo! Okay, I'm on your side now, Ethan.
Those are both real games. I just wanted to tell you about them.
This is just going
to
be me. I'm just giving Roy the finger for the remainder of this podcast, however many minutes it goes. That's good money. I'm trying to make my friend Kevin money by just saying, hey, if you want to see me give the finger for like 5 solid minutes at this garbage character, here you go.
I also like that one of your fingers has a dainty pinky extension going on with it. That's classy.
I've got weird...
You've established yourself as the classiest person here, Ethan. It's okay.
Okay, yeah, because I have standards. Well, now I'm setting like,
it's like a monologue. I'm great for the beginning of one of my...
No, fuck you.
One of my little RPG Maker games. He was the kind of man who had one British hand as he gave you the finger.
A solely British-fisted man.
Nothing wrong with him that 100 gil couldn't fix.
Now, Roy, I want to circle back to something you said earlier about the kind of games that you like to play. And the more obscure, the better, obviously. You haven't heard of Apex Legends. You haven't heard of Tetris. You once knew about Metal Gear, and now you cease to know about it. Simply, that's quite fine. I want to say, what would you say the most mainstream game like that you've been into has been? Because like, obviously there's some places where these sections overlap, where like an indie breakout hit becomes a little more mainstream and maybe you forget about it a little bit, but like, when is it towed that line perfectly where you know what the game is still, even though a couple other people know about it? Do you have anything like that, Kevin, or is it going to be a bunch of bullshit?
Kevin, I know the answer. Immediately, it's
of course
has a full boyfriend. It's a dating simulator where you get to date a bunch of pigeons.
Now I have another question. I want to talk more about this game.
I wanted to turn. If only I could turn the corner and hurt you, Roy. If only that was a possible thing I could do. If only literally the next room over from me, Roy was there and I could hurt him. That
Roy, I have a follow-up question. I want to ask more about this dating simulator for pigeons, but I also have to ask, how many of your favorite games are dating simulators?
A good 70%.
Yeah, okay, I thought so.
Okay. Something
about you and in general, just the vibes you're giving off, big weeaboo vibes, but also a bit of Tom Waits. You're like the angry white man's version of an Asian girl.
I will say this. There's a lot of YouTube video essayists who are completely unfuckable. But Roy, you may be the least fuckable in the class of unfuckable humans.
Wow. Strong words.
So you have to date. You have to simulate dates because you never get
that
any.
Is true. What is your love life like right now? I guess we should get into that. Do you have a significant other? Do you have a significant other, paramour of some sorts, Mr. Roy?
Yeah, hell, I do.
Fuck yeah, dude.
I'm her.
Okay,
best.
Let's hear it, Roy. Let's hear it.
Tell me about her. Or him.
Her,
or them.
Her name.
Fuck.
Her name is.
Kevin, you're trying too hard. Anyway, go on, Roy.
Her name is Rei Ayanami. She's 70% down feather.
Wait, no. No. Roy, no.
Why did I give Roy the time of day there? That's on me. That's my fault for giving Roy
the time of day. I just assumed this wasn't going to be a pillow. That's on both of us. Unless you're 70%
you down on this.
Unless
you're 70% down on this. I love her. She loves me.
How do you? And this is what I'm curious about, because I've been fascinated with this concept a lot, body pillows and whatnot. How do you know that she loves you?
Yeah, can a pillow consent? Is a pillow capable of consent?
Well, I can tell by the look in her eye.
The one that's drawn on.
It's the same look. The pillow doesn't have like moving eyes. It's the same look. It comes from the factory.
And also,
you don't know her the way I do.
Roy, I do. Roy, I hate to say this, but I can see on the Zoom call here in the background, I can see your wife pillow, and I can see the look in her eyes, and it looks pained and concerned. So I don't know. It looks like if she could blink, she would be doing Morse code for "get me out of here," but she can't blink.
It also looks like in a certain area, there's a little bit of feather coming out, possibly from overuse. I'm not sure.
Straight up feather. We're not talking about like down something. Yeah, it looks like there's like osprey feathers coming out of it.
Listen here, Emmanuel. You also crow's feet. Does that side of abuse? We all age. Aaron.
Yeah, Aaron or Emmanuel, whoever you may be. We do all.
Aaron's my brother's name, actually, so you're in the ballpark for that one. But again, why am I giving you the time of day?
The reason we're giving Roy Bluff the time of day, just establishing your name again so I don't forget, is because you are I'm assuming because your press kit looked very impressive. I'm assuming you're well-received for your video essays. Do people give a shit or no?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I fulfill a niche. I'm within, you know, the gaming. It's a bit of an underground. It's a bit of, you know, it's for the gamer who plays for the art of it, because they want to experience life through a new lens.
Right.
Not because they're here to score points or win.
Have fun.
Yes.
Yeah, they're there to finish.
And so, I have dozens of viewers.
There you go.
So honestly, I was going to shit on that, but I was also going to be like, that sounds comparable to my Patreon subscribers. So like, word up, fam. Like, you do you.
But also, you're a decent human being.
Jesus
Kevin,
Christ. So that's the nicest thing you've ever said to me, Ethan. That's very kind of you.
How dare you? All I've done is play video games, talk about them, and sit comfortably in my room with my jungle juice and my wife pillow.
Roy, I want to recommend a game to you. I know you probably haven't heard of it, but if you like games that are miserable and have been compared to the Schindler's List of video games, have you heard of The Last of Us 2? You yeah,
I know you haven't heard of the first one, but you've maybe heard of the second one.
Yes,
it's I've heard of it. I haven't heard of it.
Oh my God, Roy is bleeding. Roy is bleeding from the nose.
It's a deeply sad, unpleasant game, but also it's in the mainstream. God.
Oh no, this is clearly
Anthony said that I'm very human and I'm
Whoa, wait.
Overloading like a robot.
Horns are protruding from his scalp.
All right, look. All right, look.
Oh. Big reveal. Big reveal. Whoa. Big reveal.
Whoa.
My name's Adam.
Dadum?
My name's Adam.
Okay.
My name's Adam. I got kicked out of a Marvel vs. Capcom tournament. I lost really fucking hard.
Adam.
And then everyone said that I was quote unquote insufferable. And they kicked me out. And I figured out that, like, hey, maybe if I. What if I'm bad at video games, but I just don't give a shit about games? I just like art now. And that makes me better than you.
Adam.
Fuck all of you.
Adam.
And fuck you for talking shit about my wife, Ethan.
I was definitely the one who did it, but also.
That's true, to be fair.
We both didn't respect your pillow, but.
Listen, Adam. I just want to say I'm trying to be sympathetic here because Roy's a douchebag, but maybe Adam is not. But here's the thing. I feel like, you know, you got kicked out for being insufferable.
Like, I did was I lost, and then I just said what was true. I don't think women should be allowed to vote.
Okay.
Hold on. This is a big third act twist. I mean, I should have gathered from the fact that you fuck a pillow that you're not great with women, but this is big. So you lost, and you were playing all male characters in your Marvel vs. Capcom thing, I'm imagining. You probably had, like, Cyclops, Cable. Actually, you know, you definitely had a Cable. You had a Cable.
You just played Cyclops.
I just imagine Cable, Sentinel, Servbot.
Yes, I fail to see the point.
No, it just means you're toxic. That's fine. But
listen.
Wow.
Listen.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Okay, so I actually want to go back to Roy. Can you go back to Roy?
Hold on. Ethan, we're getting a look into the. Oh, no. Oh, the horns went back in.
Now we got Roy back.
He's got the horns went back in, and he's back to eating cigars. Don't eat the whole cigar. That's horrifying. That's bad for you.
Yeah, they say that the last bit of luck in a cigarette or a cigar is in the butt end. And that's why you got to crush it. Not me, though. Me, I stomp it out, but then I eat it.
Right.
Eat every last little bit of it.
Every last little bit of it. You got a little New Zealand in there for a second. I like that.
No. Listen.
And then I returned to playing the Claymation classic game, Dujana.
Okay, I don't care about that anymore. Roy, I have a question. Because say what you will about you.
You will about you, but
does Roy think that the women's suffrage movement is
valid? Absolutely.
Okay, Roy.
That is true, but also is that like a current movement? I feel like that's been resolved. Does Roy think that
you're right though.
Okay.
In the day.
You're like Roy is on board with the legacy of women getting the right to vote.
Roy is on board with
we spend more time talking about, you know, women's rights and equality and frankly rape culture. Like it's a problem.
I play a lot of
story driven games. And I'm just waiting for someone to slide in my DMs so we can talk about that.
Now I want to have a quick sidebar with Ethan. Do you mind taking your headphones off for just a moment there, Roy? Oh, look at that Foley work. Yeah. Now, Ethan, look, I know that Roy's kind of insufferable and stuff, but it sounds like, honestly, Adam is way worse. And if this weird multiple personality dissociative split is helping them think women are people, then maybe we just go along with it for the rest of the segment and just kind of indulge Roy as you're annoying, but you're not a monster.
But Kevin, he's still...
No, he still sucks. No, don't worry. He still sucks. I hate him.
I
hate him, but I don't want to hit him.
I'm worried if he's one bad breakup away.
Well, who's he going to break up with? His pillow?
Yeah. I mean, I want to hit him still. Yeah, but he seems like someyone who an inanimate object would break up with him. If anyone would do it,
do you think we should have him put his headphones back on and ask how the relationship is going and see if that's on the rocks? Because if he's on the rocks with the pillow, okay.
Yes, let's do that.
I'm going to use hand symbols to indicate that Roy should put their headphones back on. His headphones back on, certainly. This is tough. Roy, so hey, me and Ethan were just talking about our favorite movies. But how are things going with your pillow?
I mean, pretty well.
Okay,
sometimes
good.
Sometimes she nags.
Right. I mean, ain't that the way?
Pretty good.
Okay.
Ain't that the way? The old ball and chain, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The old ball and down.
Not to the ball and chain, although admittedly much lighter as she is made of feathers.
Yeah, I see that you're currently chained to the pillow. How's that work with errands and stuff? You just kind of show up at Ralph's with a pillow dragon behind you and stuff? Is that kind of how it goes?
Oh, goodness, no. I do not leave my room. Strictly Grubhubbing.
That's true.
Strictly Grubhubbing. Man, that's a pretty good episode.
That's expensive, though.
Wait, what were you saying, Ethan? I'm sorry.
Strictly Grubhubbing. I sit in here with my TikTok.
That's
like
pretty expensive if you only exclusively. Yeah, so subscribe to that Patreon so you can see a weird light effect that Roy just did. If nothing comes out of this piece of shit character, Kevin's going to get some money out of it.
Hey,
so that's what's going to
capitalism happen. Prevails. Trick your friends into doing weird stuff. Now, Roy, I'm curious, like we've talked a lot about what kind of games you're into. And like I said, I'm a gamer, but maybe I'm not a gamer on your level. But I am getting into this culture of high art video games. And I will tell you about a game that I played recently for my other podcast called Fun Hinged. And it's maybe it's something on your radar. I'm curious what your thoughts on it are or if you've made any content about it. Have you ever played a game called Doki Doki Literature Club? If you're not familiar, it's a dating sim that becomes horrible.
Oh, yeah, wait. He said sort of thing about.
So the thing about Doki Doki Literature Club, it was a wonderful game.
Was.
Until I found out that Dan Salvato, the creator of it, before doing this, he used to mostly make edits of some bullshit called Smash Brothers, and that was his bread and butter. And so
I don't know
what you're talking about.
You've heard of so because he made Smash Bros. Videos,
because he made a game you don't know exists because it was too mainstream. Don't respect that.
It's not even that he doesn't respect it; it's that he doesn't know what it is anymore.
Oh, now he doesn't know what it is.
Man,
right.
it must be you so complicated to be you, Roy.
I'm actually, here's the thing, I hate that I have this thought. Do I want to revoke women's right to vote just so Roy will go away?
Well, I mean, it's not that Adam has any power. We can have the problematic guy come back, but I don't know how we got him the first time. I think the first time we just berated him until he became Adam. Should we try that?
Oh, but that's, yeah, let's try that.
Hey, thin lips.
Okay. Well, seems
your girlfriend sucks, and she always sucks. And I hate your existence. I want to do violence on you.
Hey, I hope your girlfriend.
I don't know why.
I hope your girlfriend's not getting jealous I hope your girlfriend's not getting jealous by seeing my comforter.
Comforter.
No.
Adam's back.
Stop it.
Okay, Adam's back.
Stop
okay.
it. Adam. Stop it.
Adam.
Stop
Adam.
It.
Adam, we've stopped.
Stop it.
Hey, Adam. Oh my God, Adam.
Stop it.
Oh, wait, no, Adam, now...
Is Adam a robot? Did
I think Adam is bleeding from the eyes now, because Roy was bleeding from the nose earlier. Now Adam's bleeding from the eyes.
Yeah, it hurts a lot.
Now, Adam, I just have to ask this real quick of
Fuck
you before...
Fuck you guys. You guys are bullies. You guys are toxic.
Oh, shit. Man, I really don't want to deal with Adam. I really don't want to deal with Adam at all. Adam sucks. Adam, can you take your headphones off for a second?
Yeah. Kevin, if you could...
Ethan, I think fuck Adam, and let's just let's get Roy back. Let's see what he's trying to promote.
Can we just shoot this person?
I don't know. I mean, one of us is definitely closer.
I don't know. We're on a podcast, so it's hard.
I would.
Can we? Yes. Can we Grubhub them some Stricken? Is that a thing we can do? I think that may be a thing. We Grubhub them some food. We say we've forgiven you, and then we make sure that they put arsenic or Stricken
in their
food. In his food.
Is that a thing that Grubhub is offering?
That's like you can do it as a side. You can do it as like an add-on. You can pay $1.50 and there's arsenic in the food. Let's do that.
We're either going to kill this person or we're going to have them revert to their PTSD-based alter ego and just ask them what projects they're excited about coming up. Do you want to do murder or do you want to do promotion? What do you want to do?
Yeah,
Let's do plugs and then I'm not completely not sold on the murder. So like, let's do plugs and then see if we can trick this guy into killing himself. All right. So I'm going to do the new universal sign for it's okay to put your headphones back on. Okay. Adam, hey, can we get Roy back?
Hey, really? I was just hanging out with my replica revolver ocelot.
Yakuza Zero.
With a single bullet in it.
Yakuza Zero. Yakuza Zero.
Spinning the barrel and doing cool tricks with it.
I'm trying to trigger Roy into coming back.
Hey, I know. How about this?
What, with Yakuza Zero?
No.
The critically acclaimed game?
Fuck,
from
it is
Sega? Critical.
Damn it. It just seemed like some bullshit you'd like.
So Adam.
Yeah, what's up?
Adam, here's a fun game. Have you heard of six bullet Russian roulette? It's like Russian roulette, but then you shoot six times at once.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? Let's try it.
Well, also,
I'm gonna play Revolver Ocelot style.
You wanna play Revolver Ocelot style? Well, I got really big news for you. Are you excited for this? Take a look under your seat. Take a look under your seat.
Take a look. Oh my god! My neighbor's dog!
That was I want to say that's the fastest.
That's the neighbor's dog.
That's the fastest I've seen somebody go from discovering a gun under their seat that we planted before the episode to accidentally missing a suicide shot and killing their neighbor's dog.
Okay, well, I hate to retcon you there, Kev, but explicitly say it was my replica revolver ocelot thing. It was a Metal Gear Solid reference.
Right, and I definitely talked over that because there's some lag.
Which is a game. Okay, Adam knows that game. Adam knows that game without
easily.
I'm so sick of Adam. I'm so sick of Adam. I wish he had shot himself in the head instead of that dog. But I don't want Roy.
But that's just because dogs are better.
Dogs are better than Adam. That is true.
Like, I would rather shoot. I would rather, like, me get shot than a dog. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, well,
that's
Ethan, if you look under your seat.
Oh, jeez. All right, let's do this.
Of course. Look at that. It's from the certain angle that I'm seeing it looks like a bottle of Windex because that's what's in the background.
Hey, let me just drink that.
Now, of course, bottle. Ethan's going to die in moments here, which means that we simply have to be at plugs.
Yes.
Before Ethan succumbs to Windex poisoning, which is in the DSM-5. I don't know why it's in the DSM-5. But this episode of Bleak Review is coming out on Friday, April 2nd. So happy April to everybody. We did it. We made it to this month. I'm going to start over here with the soon-to-be-deceased from Windex consumption, Ethan Stanislawski. What is going on online or otherwise that you want people to know about?
Yeah, you can follow me. I mean, I won't be posted because I'll be dead.
But you can follow me
at Ethan Stan Comedy on Twitter. Send moving tributes, that kind of thing, to Ethan Stan Comedy on Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. You can follow my sketch team, Night Church. That's at Hail Night Church on all the things. If you have a bag of money to throw at an animated pilot, slide into my DMs. But obviously, I won't respond because I'll be dead.
But anyway, you do have that thing set up where somebody's going to take over your accounts once you're deceased. Do you know who that is? Is it somebody hilarious?
Yes. No.
Oh, bummer.
High school. Who's having a baby, so she'll be distracted from responding to your messages.
All right. So like look forward to that vaguely inactive account in the future, everybody. Now, Adam/Roy Bluff, obviously we've got the video essays. Or does Adam not do video essays? We never even established that.
Who cares?
Thank fucking God Roy is back.
Oh, Roy's back.
The crosstalk is going to be way less intense.
I'm glad I only have seconds to live. Because it's fewer seconds than I get to spend with Roy.
No, Roy's great.
Hey,
we love Roy.
But your other guest, he's very rude.
Yeah, I know. Adam was terrible. I agree. But Roy, obviously we've got these meta video essays, these double plus good video essays that are coming out. People could check that out. Is there anything else you would like to promote or plug here in this moment?
Sure. I keep submitting articles. I don't know if they've picked them up yet. But if you go over to Kicking and Screaming, hopefully one of these days they'll submit one of my articles. I keep talking with this guy, Hollis Black.
This guy?
Yeah.
This guy? Oh, wow.
Cannon!
I don't know if you guys know that, but non-binary people, they can use many pronouns. Whoa. That's part of the deal.
That's going to be so much easier for me in the future.
It's almost like, it's almost as if Hollis has been saying that to you from jump or something.
No, I don't think it's come up. I block out a lot of stuff. I often get really drunk and I just say
Trans Visibility Day. I'm going to bookend this podcast by Happy Trans Visibility Day. I started it and now I'm ending it with that, which is my place to do.
So yeah, Hollis Black is on there though. Yeah, Hollis is putting some articles out on Kicking and Streaming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can find them on. Hollis is great. You can find them on Twitter at It's Hollis Black. They never post. Likewise on Instagram, and likewise they never post.
Solid plug. Sounds like you don't like this person.
It's fine enough person. They introduced me to this publication, which I'm trying to get articles on, which they now have articles on.
You do seem like a good fit for that place.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can find Hollis over there. They seem to have an outright disdain for social media, so it seems kind of pointless to follow those accounts, but you can try.
Wait, follow it for brag points. Like, just be like, oh, I follow Hollis Black, you know?
That's how it works.
And as for me, everybody, of course, you can follow me and all the things at KB Anderson. Yo, you could follow this podcast for... Thank you. You can follow...
Was that Roy?
That seemed like an Adam. That seemed like an Adam, I think.
That's an Adam move. That is an Adam move.
Yeah. You can follow this podcast at Bleak Pod if you want. I don't really post much there other than the episodes. But hey, if you don't subscribe to this on the feeds and you want to know when episodes are out, do that there. Of course, you can also go to patreon.com/bleakandreview to get lots of bonus content, including video footage of this bullshit that we just did and other podcasts such as Fun Hinged with the aforementioned Hollis Black. And we actually have a recent episode out there with the aforementioned Ethan Stanislavski in which we review the terrible film, The Poughkeepsie Tapes. So go check that out if you're curious. $5 a month gets you.
Adam probably likes that movie. Adam probably.
I don't know the Adam
movie.
Or.
I mean, I don't know. I don't claim to know the kid, but I can tell you that I once remember that movie and it was near and dear to my heart. Before I forgot what it was.
Yeah, you loved how bad it was because it was so bad. You were like, nobody else likes this. I should like it. But then it got a cult following and you didn't know what it was anymore. That tracks.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's. We're ending this so Ethan can call his mother before he dies. But that is once again patreon.com/bleakandreview.
No, literally the moment this podcast ends. Is when my
right. No, yeah, we do. It's a speed like situation where if this podcast goes below 12 riffs a second, then Ethan will die. And so, of course, in that, in our classic fashion, I will ask you, Ethan, say goodbye to everybody. And Roy Bluff, say goodbye to everybody.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody. I'm Kevin Anderson. This has been Bleaker Review. We will see you next week. Continue to absorb content.